Hi, I'm John Elias.
And Jackson from Montreal, Canada.
You're listening to the IVND podcast.
Go Cavs, go!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by Andy. How's it going, Andy?
Hey, it's going great. Thanks for asking.
Good. Good to hear. that's the answer I was looking for.
Anything else would have been unacceptable.
So this is going to be a shorter episode. It's probably going to be different than most of our episodes. I've been up in Chicagoland the last few days for a conference, and I was presenting up there, and I'm pretty mentally drained right now, and I literally just walked through the door and sat down and fired everything up, and so we're going to roll with it.
I'm glad you darkened the door. We actually considered not doing a podcast tonight, so...
We did.
Doing it, you know?
Right. So anybody that's listening to this and they're thinking like, yeah, that wasn't that great of an episode. Well, you know what? You could have not had one tonight. So just take what you get. you take your gruel and
your gruel. And then you turn around like Oliver Twist and say, please, some more.
And then you'll get a good episode on Sunday night.
I wouldn't mind a good steaming bowl of gruel tomorrow morning. That sounds pretty good.
Oh, man. Okay, so before we get started, I wanted to let you know what we're doing here with the podcast from now until the Cubs postseason is over. I mentioned on our last episode that we would be doing a live post-game show after every Cubs postseason game. The only exception is that there probably will not be one for any postseason games that we attend. Although I was thinking, you know, Blab works pretty well with mobile. So who knows? Maybe we will. But we're not going to promise
I foresee some periscoping for sure if good things happen when we're at a game.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to be... Like, I'm the kind of person, like, especially playoff games, looking at playoff games. I don't want to be that guy that doesn't... And I'm never really this way. Like, I want to experience it. And I don't want to experience it looking through a phone and like
Instagram
recording
every moment.
Right. Like I kind of like to like take it all in and really just experience that moment. And it lives on in my memory. That's kind of where I will be with playoff games.
So should we make a like shutdown phone pact or something like that?
Well, it doesn't matter because my phone's no good. So thanks for rubbing that in.
You're welcome.
Jeez.
Oh, awesome. All right, so your phone will be shut down.
Right, because it basically is.
I'll be tweeting constantly and smiling with every tweet.
Yeah, that's man. So I don't think I talked about this on the last episode, but as we were going up to that Cubs game on Saturday, my phone was dead. Or it's not dead, it just doesn't work. It doesn't get service. So luckily, Jason allowed me to, you know, tether or whatever to his phone. So at least I was able to like check Twitter and stuff like that. But you're like Mr. No Data ever. So you're not going to do me any good with that.
Yep. I try not to use data. I'm Mr. I like using Wi-Fi as much as possible too.
Yeah. But, and I don't think, you know, we haven't talked about it here on the podcast, but you and I are actually going to a Cubs postseason game if that happens, if that game happens.
Right, yeah. Thanks to Kurt. Kurt actually has the bad fortune of having to go on a work trip during the games that he could get tickets for.
He gets tickets and then realizes he will be not there.
And I guess it's unavoidable for him. Like, he has to go on this trip. So God bless him. He's passing the tickets along to us, and we're eternally grateful. A couple things have to happen for us to be able to go to that game. The Cubs need to win the wild card play-in game, and then they need to, the series needs to go to the fourth game in the NLDS.
Right. Yes. And I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, but we also have playoff tickets to game two in St. Louis if it plays out that way, which it looks like if the Cubs win, I think they'll be playing the Cardinals in the NL. I don't think the Pirates are going to catch the Cardinals. So we will actually be going to game two in St. Louis and game four in Chicago. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Let's hope for that, man.
I hope so. And then I'd hope to see a series win in game four.
That would be really cool. Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see that. I would like
to. And we're pretty much guaranteed to see a Lester or an Arrieta start for game four.
Right?
You think?
I don't think so.
Oh, you think it's going to be Dan Heron?
I don't know. To be honest, I have not. I don't think it's going to be Dan Heron. No, I have not. I thought game two and game four were potentially like Hendricks / bullpen / Hamill.
Right. So then that means game three would be Arrieta again or right. Lester. I'm sorry, Arrieta. So probably a Lester game, actually.
Yeah, and that would be on short rest, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I honestly haven't even in this, as this season is wrapping up, I'm really trying to not look ahead to the playoffs too much, or the postseason, I suppose we should call it. And I think it's just because I don't want my anxiety about the postseason to tarnish what this season is. And I think that Sunday night is when we record the next episode of this podcast. That's when I'm going to really start thinking about postseason.
Well, the good news is the Cubs found a loophole, and they're going to bring back Edwin Jackson for that start.
Right. Oh. Oh, boy, that'd be fun. I mentioned that we're going to be doing post-game episodes or post-game like blab sessions. Those will obviously be released in the podcast feed after we're done recording them. So there will be a podcast the morning after playoff games. So that should be fun. I'm looking forward to doing those. Hopefully we get to do a whole bunch of them. So the Cubs will be playing next Wednesday, that wild card game, and we will do our regular episode on Sunday evening, and we'll kind of wrap up the 2015 season. And then we'll have a new episode out Monday morning through Thursday morning next week. Every morning there will be an episode of this podcast. We're going to have Katie Day on for an episode. She's obviously the musician that wrote the song By the Lakeside, which we've been playing as our outro music here for the last month or so. We're going to do an American League playoff preview. And so, yeah, the episodes will be coming in hot and heavy next week and hopefully beyond. And this is what we've been waiting for, you know, is with this podcast. For 6 years, I've been wondering how we're going to handle this podcast during a postseason appearance by the Cubs. And to be honest, at the beginning of this year, I thought, well, we better get that figured out because we're probably going to need to know what we're doing in 2016. I did not really expect it to happen this season. So,
yeah, we have a listener question about that, a little, you know, kind of that topic. I don't know that the front office was expecting it either. So,
Anthony Rizzo was
a surprise, but it's a pleasant surprise. Yeah, Anthony Rizzo did predict winning the division, and who would have thought it was going to take a million wins to win the division this year?
Right, right. Yeah, so, okay. I guess we'll kind of get into things here a little bit. As I said, just a reminder, this episode's different than others, so forgive us. But speaking of the playoffs, so on the last episode, we had a few listener questions about Ron Coomer and the idea of him doing play-by-play in the fifth inning of these playoff games. And one of us, I assume it was me, I think it was, but I think I said that, was it me that I said that Lynn Casper should join Pat and Coomdog in the booth for the playoffs? I think I did.
It wasn't me. I will.
I'm pretty sure it was me.
It was you also.
And then the next morning, I got a lot of tweets after people listened to the podcast telling me that during our recording and the Sunday night radio broadcast, they were kind of happening at the same time, during that, they announced that, in fact, Lynn will be joining Pat and Coombdog on the radio broadcast. And I think that is a great idea.
That is a fantastic idea. And that means I need to figure out how to sync up the radio with the TV broadcast.
Can you... One reason that I really like this idea is that I really enjoy Lynn Casper, and I would kind of miss being able to hear him during these games. And I think for 162 games, we get so used to certain voices with the Cubs. I think a lot of people feel that way about Pat Hughes. And the nice thing is you can continue to hear Pat Hughes in the postseason, but I really didn't like the idea of like Lynn just disappearing. And I really is what I really like about it is if the Cubs can get to the World Series and if they can win the World Series, how awesome would it be to hear Lynn Casper and Pat Hughes together calling, you know, the last inning of a situation like that? I mean, I just really, I think
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lynn would hand it over to Pat. I think Pat would get to make the call.
Oh, but, yeah, of course. But I mean, then we would hear some of Lynn's and Coombdog's reaction. But I can't even imagine that moment, like them trying to call that. I mean, it's such a God, the pressure's on. I mean, I wonder if they think about that as broadcasters, like when they finally call that moment.
They have to be thinking about it. Although I would imagine that, because when we were able to interview Lynn Casper a while back, and one of the questions that we asked him was about his home run call, and he said that he really likes it kind of being in the moment. Like he doesn't like to have a canned home run call, because it's just then it can come off as forced and it's not quite as authentic. And so he really, you know, he said you can't call a bottom of the second inning or a top of the second inning home run on the road the same way you call a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth at Wrigley. Mm-hmm. And so I think I could see Lynn just kind of wanting to like be in the moment and do what he feels, you know, and I don't know. It's just, I really like that. And you know, it's really kind of unfair for the TV broadcasters, because those games are broadcast on the radio that continues, but the TV guys are kind of left in the dust. And I know that sometimes like Lynn may cover or different TV broadcasters may cover some playoff games, but I'm pretty sure that they wouldn't be covering the home or their own team. I don't think that they would. And if they were, I don't think they'd be doing it in the playoffs, or I mean, in the World Series. So,
yeah, I kind of doubt that. So, but yeah, I do hope, you know, I hope they make a deep run, and I'd love to hear that moment and how it's called and how that all goes down,
man. But that did clinch it for me that I probably will. I might listen to the first couple innings of the TV broadcast, but then from then on, I'll be listening to the radio broadcast, I believe.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything you want to say about this Pirates series? Here's what I did jot down a couple of notes. Here's what my notes say about the Pirates series. Lester good, Reds bad, offense is clicking. That was my analysis.
Well, okay, so I did want to say that the last loss the Cubs have had was the game we went to last Saturday. I mean, so these guys have been killing it ever since then. I mean, the starting rotation too has only given up one earned run since we were there.
Wow.
Can you believe that? One earned run since Saturday and 38 strikeouts. So, you know, both Hamill and Hendricks had a good start in their last start. Hamill only pitched five innings, but he gave up zero earned runs. Hendricks pitched six with zero earned runs, and Hendricks had nine strikeouts in his start.
Yeah, so his pitch count did go up. I think that's part of the reason, but I really like this, you know, as we look towards the playoffs and or postseason. I'm trying not to say playoffs. I'm trying to say postseason just because, you know, there's that whole debate. Are they in the playoffs or are they in the postseason by getting that wild card thing? If they win that game, then I think they're in the playoffs. But anyway, I really like that. Get Hamill out of there after like five. And the same with Hendricks. Don't wait for things to go bad. Just get him out.
Yeah. In fact, we were texting back and forth about this today. And I said, you were talking about giving Hamill a very short hook. And I said, well, why not let him, you know, let the opposing team see him two times through their lineup? And then you're basically like, yeah, that worked really well for them on Saturday. And I was like, wait, I think he's wrong. So I like checked, and it was like the end of the second time through the lineup where they did a bunch of damage against Hamill. But anyway, I mean, I think, yeah, no matter whether Hendricks or Hamill is, you know, the third guy in the rotation, I think it's definitely like short hook type of scenario.
Yeah, and I think with some of the, I guess, the options that Madden has to go into the, you know, with the bullpen, I mean, there are guys, Cahill and Wood and Richard, you know, these guys that can go to two innings, three innings. And so yeah. I really,
Wood's been great lately. Wood got his third save in Tuesday's game against the Reds. He's been pitching very well.
Yeah, so I like the idea of getting him out there, getting him, Hendricks and Hamill, get them out of there before things go bad. Don't, you know, because teams can quickly get two base runners on those guys. And if you wait until they give up a walk or a hit to get somebody up in the bullpen, then it's just like it can come down. Go downhill fast.
Right. And due to their options, they have no reason to leave them in there longer than they should. But right. Just like you said, I mean, they have great options to go to if things are starting, even just starting to look like the car is starting to roll downhill, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if, you know, they can tell by command or velocity, whatever, but I kind of like the idea of like, just give them three innings, one time through the order, and move on to somebody else, or maybe two, but four innings, maybe. I don't know. But this,
but yeah,
oh, I said Pirates leash. Series, didn't I? I meant Reds.
Right. Well, they did play one game against the Pirates since Saturday, and they defeated them in that game. Arrieta went seven innings in that game. He had a no hitter going in that game. I was kind of relieved to see him give up a hit, so there wouldn't be even be the question, right, of should we leave him in to get another maybe potential no hitter.
Well, and he had a perfect game going, so I mean,
yes,
you definitely leave him in for a perfect game,
right? So he ended up only going seven innings because he gave up that hit, but he hit a solo shot in that game too. That was the game where he hit a home run, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was just really cool to see. I mean, I'm trying not to be overly confident in this wild card game with facing the Pirates, but man, Pittsburgh batters have not figured out Jake Arrieta. I mean, they have not at all. And it's not even like they weren't getting good contact. I mean, it was like they have not figured him out. And so
no, they haven't.
That makes me feel very confident.
I mean, over his last 11 starts against the Pirates, his ERA is 0.44. That's his last 11 starts. His ERA is 0.44. But in five starts against the Pirates, his ERA is 0.75. And he's also played very well on the road. He's 12-1 on the road with a 1.68 ERA. So you're right. He's done well against the Pirates. The numbers back it up. I feel very confident going into the wild card game, whether it's at home or on the road. And by the way, the Pirates' magic number is 2 have the wild card game in Pittsburgh. So if the Cubs were to sweep the Reds, the Pirates have 3 games left. We would need the Reds to win 2 out of the 3 games against the Pirates.
But in watching the Reds for the last 3 days, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, that is fairly doubtful after what we saw the Cubs do to them.
I was actually kind of scared of the Reds heading into this week because you just look at like Votto and Bruce, you know, they've got some good players, but then my God, they looked awful this week. They looked terrible. And now, what have they lost now? 12 in a row, I think.
Oh yeah. They're not in great shape. I mean, in fact, why even pitch to Votto with that lineup? I mean, just,
yeah,
I don't know. It's a wreck there. In fact, I mean, like look at what the Cubs did to them on Wednesday night. They beat the Reds 10-3, and the Reds were actually just down. They only got one run up until like the eighth or the ninth inning. The Cubs hit six doubles against them, and then there was the Castro home run also. So that team is looking well. First of all, too, the Reds are going with the Reds are going with a rookie rotation as well. So, I mean, that's
part of it. Yeah.
Worth considering. And I'm being called a flip flopper because I am singing Jake Arrieta's praises, but let's not forget Lester's start. His last start, he went eight innings strong, one earned run against the Reds. The guy's looking sharp too. I'm not saying that I don't think Arrieta should start the play-in game, but I'm feeling like Lester's kind of getting on a roll here too.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, if the Cubs can get past the wild card game, if Arrieta can pitch another gem, the Cubs can, you know, just score a couple runs, that might be enough. And I have a lot of faith in Lester heading there, you know, into St. Louis to pitch well against the Cardinals, because to me, I mean, things can turn around quickly, especially in the postseason, because all it takes is a couple wins in a row and there's just so much momentum and the teams really click, it seems like, in the postseason with a couple of wins like that. But man, that the Cardinals are just, I don't know. They're hurting. I mean, a lot of it is injuries, but
I think the Pirates or the Cubs beat the Cardinals in the NLDS. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it matters whether they play the Pirates or the Cubs. I think they get beaten.
Well, and I don't think home field advantage is really going to matter in that series either. So, but like I said, things can change quickly. So, I mean, it's not like I would be completely shocked if the Cardinals actually played well in that series. But I mean, they just have so many injuries. And the fact, if they are playing the Cubs, you just look back at those two series and the Cubs just battered Cardinals pitching, so starting pitching.
Well, yeah, so. And it sounds like everybody is kind of battering their starting pitching too. I mean, I think the Pirates touched up Waka for quite a few runs in their most recent start against him too.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in a rough spot. I mean, the other couple things I wanted to say about the Red series, just really quickly, the Dino walk-off homer again. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess this would be the KC game on Monday,
right,
where they played the Royals. I love the DiNorfio walk-off homer. Len's call on that was fantastic. If you haven't heard that, go back and watch it. I thought it was hilarious in Tuesday's game against the Reds. Carl Edwards Jr. had to face Aroldis Chapman in an at bat, and apparently Madden told him not to swing at all. And I don't think he did, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
I missed that at bat. I wish, and I need to try to find if I can find it online somewhere, because I would like to see
that. For sure. I'm sure it exists somewhere. And then, you know, in Thursday's game, Austin Jackson hit that three-run home run. That would be today's game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hit the three-run home run that ended up actually being the difference in the game. And that guy's looking to be a difference maker on this team, a guy that could actually be pretty helpful in the postseason.
I was sitting in the hotel bar watching that game as I was waiting to do my presentation, waiting for my time to go in, and I was watching that, and Jackson was all, I'm already, Lamb is that the pitcher's name, and Jackson was all over it. Like, it looked inevitable that he was going to hit a home run, because, I mean, he was like fouling off like monster. He fouled off like a really well-hit ball, and he looked like, I mean, Lamb was like, well, I think I texted you guys, like,
yeah,
his off-speed stuff is like, he was pitching like, which he struck out Castro. I think he struck out Castro and Rizzo back to back on like 67 and 68 mile an hour pitches. It was like borderline Ephus.
his Ephus repertoire. At least he has that change of speed.
Yeah. But Yeah, but Jackson jumped all over that, and I like it. You know, I think he's a good option in the outfield here as we look at the postseason. So let's get to some listener questions here. Michael from Galesburg, he sends in a couple. It says, quick questions, super negative number one. If the Cubs lose on the 7th of October, is the season still a success?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Unqualified success.
I think it's disappointing. Like, the postseason is disappointing. I think we are allowed to, at this point, have some expectations in the postseason. And I think, I don't think that the season is a failure. I think the season is a success. But if right now, if I'm looking at Jake Arrieta taking the mound in a wild card game and what this Cubs offense really is capable of doing, I think they should be able to beat the Pirates. And I know it's not going to be easy against Gerrit Cole, but I still think the Cubs should have the edge in that. And, you know, I mean, I have my hopes up for a good October. And I'm not saying, I just want to see, at this point, I have a hard time looking past the wild card game. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I want right now. Just get past that one day. Because I think they match up well, really well, with a lot of teams in a series. But it's that one freaking game.
Right. I think you put it perfectly. I think the season is already an unqualified success. But you're right. I mean, it will be a little bit of a disappointment if they don't get through that.
And mainly WC because
game.
Right. And mainly because, well, I think that if you can only get into the playoffs so many times. I mean, look at the Nationals. Just because you have a really good team does not necessarily mean that you're going to go get into the playoffs. So, like, next year, the playoffs are not a guarantee. And so it's like, if they can get into the postseason, like, that's where my expectations really start raising, because it's like, okay, I don't know how many more times we can get there. And so we're there, and I would really like to see great things happen. So,
right. And the Cubs have a chance to win 97 games. Is that right? I mean, it's hard to say that. You can't make an argument that the season was a failure if they win 97 games yet don't make it deep into the playoffs. I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of madness.
I agree with you. And then he says, super positive. How many World Series wins in a row is too many? If Jordan didn't retire, the Bulls could have won 8 in a row. I think 5 sounds okay. Discuss.
5 sounds great. I think if the Cubs could pile on a boatload of World Series wins, I would love it if there were no end in sight.
Well, let's see. How many do the Cardinals have? Because that's how many I want. In a row.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That would be enough.
What are they at? Don't they have 11? I think they have 11.
Okay, so 12 World Series wins, and then somebody else can go ahead and have it. The Marlins, I mean, the Rays or somebody can go ahead and win.
Some other fan base, some other poor, you know, just
needs a little pick-me-up type of fan base.
Fan base, yeah. This next one comes from Mike in Charlottesville, Virginia. And Mike says, I really agree with what you've been saying these past few weeks about the need to get over the curse talk as fans. I almost think the fans are just another part of the rebuild, not necessarily needing a new bunch of fans, but just changing our attitude and our approach as a whole. I had the idea for just that, and I was hoping you could talk about it. What if ownership decided to get Steve Bartman to throw out the first pitch at one of the playoff games, should Wrigley host one? Though it would most likely send everyone into a panic, and I shudder to think what would happen if they lost. I think it would be a great message from ownership in the front office that they aren't afraid of the past and don't believe in the curse. Curious of what you think of the idea.
Ooh. I don't know. Let's calm it down on having him throw out a first pitch at one of the playoff games. What if the front office just came out and said, hey, we forgive you, or something like that? Like, they just made a statement like that's over. Or what if they had him throw out a pitch at a regular season game at some point, or just invited him to come?
Well, and here's what I think. In a way, even if this is not what the front office, okay, so say they did what Mike says, I think that people would say like, oh, look, they're trying to reverse the curse. You know, it wouldn't be so much of a, oh, look, this, you know, we feel bad for this poor guy and we're going to give him this opportunity to throw out a first pitch and kind of welcome him with open arms. But I think too many people would say, oh, they're just trying, look, they're trying to, just reverse the curse by righting the fan base's wrongs by how he was treated, Bartman was treated. I don't know. Okay. The Bartman thing is just a weird thing. And yeah, obviously I feel so bad for the guy, and he's kind of, he just is not interested in publicity. He's not interested in any of that. And so I don't think he's going to want to play any role in anything. To be honest, the guy has probably suffered like some pretty severe, emotional damage from this stuff. And I don't know, just whatever that dude wants is what that dude should get, you know? And I hope that at some point, like, he's been able to go to Cubs games and maybe just kind of blend in and be able to, think about where he was sitting. I mean, he was there for the NLCS. Think about how much money he had to have spent there. You know, like, imagine if you or I, if that was one of us.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
I don't know. And I have a lot of respect for the guy that he was just like wanted to be out of the spotlight, and he stayed there. It's not like he waited for things to blow over and then he became like,
he hasn't come out and like trashed the Cubs or anything like that.
No, but he hasn't tried to like capitalize on it at all. He hasn't, no commercials. I think they invited him to be on Saturday Night Live and stuff. And I don't know. I don't think there's any need to dredge up old stuff.
Right. Well, what if they had him come to an Arrieta start where it's like almost guaranteed that the Cubs win the game?
they put him in the highest row all the way, or like no foul balls go up there.
The 500 level, like,
see, that's just the it.
Family section.
See, no matter where they put him, that's the story that Paul Sullivan would run. Oh, look, they gave him a suite that way he wouldn't touch a foul ball. I don't know. It's just distractions. Then I
checked the level of his beer.
Right. It's just distractions, I think. And I think I would assume that Mr. Bartman knows that the organization does not blame him for anything. And I just think I think we're good. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do like what he said about, you know, that the fans need, how did he word it? That the fans need a rebuild, a change of attitude and approach as a whole. And I think that if there is a team to kind of make that happen, it's this 2015 Cubs. Because this 2015 Cubs is unlike any Cubs team I've ever watched.
Yeah, they have a buoyancy to them. They're optimists. You know, I mean, they just seem like they don't carry the weight of the past on their shoulders. I mean, it's not a Pilgrim's Progress situation where they're carrying around a burden, the burden of the past. You know, they're playing like they have a lightness and a spring to their step.
Yeah. Yep. This next one is from Jason in Korea. He starts it off, benevolent overlord, which I absolutely love. That I probably got, I have no idea how many emails I got. I would say approaching dozens of emails this week, starting with benevolent overlord. And I giggled every time. So thank you. Anyways, so if you have no idea what that's about, you need to listen to our last episode. Jason says, benevolent overlord. Let's assume what we've all assumed from the beginning of the season. The Cubs don't win the World Series. Who would you accept losing? Who would you accept losing to? Cardinals in the NLDS or the Pirates in the wild card? Well, loss to the Cardinals is going to suck.
Yeah, I hate to see them lose the Cardinals, but I'd rather them make it to that level of the playoffs than losing the wild card play-in. So no matter how much I hate to see them lose to the Cardinals, I think I would rather it be at that phase of the playoffs rather than in the wild card game.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
Still, I feel a lot of confidence in them making it past the NLDS if they make it to that level.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you just want to go as far as you can, and it would suck, especially for those of us, you know, Central Illinois, to lose to the Cardinals. But I want them to get as far as they can. So, let's see. This next one is from Jeremy, and it's basically an email where he just kind of complains about baseball guys being super lazy about nicknames. And it brings him down, and I totally agree. I don't like it at all. Let's see. Maybe you can help me sum this email up, Andy.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's kind of taking Coombdog to task for always adding ER to the end of names, like Grimmer, you know, and Lester. Just kidding. So he came up with some alternatives for nicknames for Grimm instead of Grimmer. He also mentions, too, that the words... His closed captioning brought up the word squasher for, I think it was Schwarber. So he says he's an expert on baseball nickname reform. So some of his ideas about nicknames for Justin Grimm. Well, the Grim Reaper's already one that's out there, but he says Grimm and Barrett, the brother Grimm, Ed Grimley, Clark W. Grimswald. The list literally writes itself. And then he says, oh snap, Grimace, like the giant anthropomorphic purple gumdrop from Happy Meals. But those are better than Grimmer, right? And so he also says that Rizzo, he wishes that Rizzo would be referred to as the Rizzo. Rizzo, kind of like the RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan. So entertaining email all around, Jeremy. You're right. I wish there would be a little bit more creativity than just adding the ER on the end.
You know, I'm just, I don't know why broadcasters would even need to call players by their nicknames. That's always kind of annoyed me. So,
yeah. In the chat, there's a lot of nickname talk going on. Somebody said Starliner, Mr. Smith, Jonas says Dinoer. We have Arietter from Taylor. So, everybody has a pretty good sense of humor that's with us tonight.
Yeah. I'm fine with, like managers kind of using terms like that in the post games and stuff, you know, like Grimmer did, you know, pitched well, blah blah blah, whatever. But it's when broadcasters use those that just, I don't know, really bugs me. But I'll you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, the Homer guy of the broadcast, I mean, I think that's somewhat of an expectation for that guy, right? That he does stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, adding an ER isn't exactly coming up with a nickname.
No, it's not.
Jason in New Mexico says, knowing how things played out for the Cubs, do you think the front office is regretting not getting a frontline starter? I'm not saying they made a mistake. This is a pure hindsight question.
I'm assuming he means in addition to Lester. Right. And, yeah, like I said earlier in the broadcast, this was the question that I was alluding to earlier in the podcast, but, I don't think they foresaw this team doing exactly what they've done. I mean, I do think that they had confidence that this year the Cubs would have some success, but I don't necessarily think that they foresaw them.
They didn't see a 94 to 97 win team.
Right. Exactly. So, Yeah, hindsight. Yeah, maybe they wish they would have done more with starting pitching. But still, I mean, I think that pitching, you could say, starting pitching, you could say, is this team one of this team's weaknesses. But still, I think that they have the goods to be able to go deep in the playoffs.
Right. I mean, you have two good. I mean, you have two number ones, essentially. And I mean, let's just say right now, Arrieta's pitching like a number two. You have a number one and a number two. That's, I don't know, that can carry you in the playoffs. There are teams that have been carried by, I mean, look at the Giants last year. They were carried by a number one. So
right.
I don't think, I kind of don't think that starting pitching is going to be the downfall of this team in the postseason.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, in pretty much every team, I think it's kind of rare where teams have like an entire rotation full of studs, unless you're like the 90s Braves or something.
Well, the Mets this year.
Yeah, the Mets. I mean, the Mets have a pretty good rotation, but I think a lot of teams are dealing with similar issues to the Cubs as far as starting rotations, whether that's from not adding enough, you know, at the trade deadline, or whether it's from injury, you know, like some of the Central Division foes. I think a lot of teams are kind of going to kind of be dealing with the same thing.
Well, and I don't think that I think if the Cubs at the trade deadline knew that they had a really good team. And what I really like about this front office, and I think this kind of sums it up, Jason, is that they're not going to do anything that could potentially hurt the team long term for short term success, because their eyes are still on the long term prize of having like a very competitive team year in and year out. So I think at the trade deadline, if they wanted to, they could have gone out and picked up Price or whatever, you know, if they really wanted to, they could have thrown it in all these prospects and gone for it. But I just don't think it fit their long-term plans. I think that this front office is very calculated, and they're just not going to hurt themselves over just basically what amounted to like what the A's did last year. Like, I just don't think that this front office is going to do that, because they don't They don't have to put all of their eggs in the 2015 basket.
In fact, I've seen other respectable people in the Cubs Twitter and blog world saying that they kind of maybe even expect the Cubs to not make a huge splash in this offseason. Various people in the chat have been bringing up David Price, and it's funny because David Price seems to already be ingratiating himself to various Cubs pitchers.
Right.
Like, I've seen him tweeting at Arrieta and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be that surprised to see them go after him, but I've seen other people opine that the Cubs maybe don't need, you know, since they maybe have those already kind of like two ace situation, like you mentioned, going for like a number three type of guy to kind of push the other guys the Cubs already have back one slot.
Like a Samardzija.
You sure? Well, heck, I mean, Samardzija in the number three hole in a rotation, that looks pretty good to me.
Yeah. I'd rather have David Price, but you know. All right, one last email here. This is from Matthew. Says, hi, longtime listener, first-time poster. I was wondering, do you guys draw any inspiration from Joe Maddon's leadership for your professional endeavors? Have you taken anything from the Cubs' experiences over the years that you've been podcasting to inform your personal lives? It seems like at least two of you are involved in education. I really do think that Joe Maddon reminds me of the best teachers and coaches I've had. Have you taken any time, or have you taken anything from his words or the instincts he's displayed? He might be a knight in shining armor. So during the doldrums, did you learn anything about baseball in general or coaching from the Cubs' sour years? Kind of an interesting question.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I would say, like, to that question, I definitely admire Joe Maddon and what he does as a leader. And I think my leadership style is already kind of very similar to Maddon before I even really paid attention to Joe Maddon, and that I try to keep it positive and kind of laid back. But
plus probably, you do, plus you're known for walking in the third hour with a pink flamingo.
Right. I am. Yeah. Snow leopards. Everybody pet the snow leopard. Now let's talk about Macbeth. But no, I mean, it's just probably to a fault, though. I mean, for me, I think that Maddon does have the ability to show some, you know, have some teeth and show some toughness when necessary. And that's something that I've always struggled with as a leader, is sort of having, I don't know, good boundaries and knowing when enough is enough as far as the jocularity is concerned.
Yeah. I tried to implement, so this was my first year coaching anything above T-ball. And I coached basically like second through fourth grade boys. And I decided I was going to take some of these, newer baseball ways of thinking and some stuff that we've seen Joe Maddon do. And I wanted to like do that with my team. And then I realized that this was not the age group to try to do anything other than turn your hat the right way, pay attention, swing the bat, please. Please, God, swing the freaking bat.
No bat flips. Get off the shed.
Right. I mean, I'm all for walks, but if you don't swing the bat, the umpire is not going to give you any balls. Like, it is strikes no matter where that pitch is. You've got to swing the bat.
Well, you're right. I mean, these guys have arrived at the highest level that they can attain in the baseball world, and they've gone through years and years of that type of stuff. And so they're at the point in their career now where they can flourish under a Maddon. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I would like to be I would like to be as calm as Joe Maddon is, you know, like
somebody in the chat said, swing the bat, unless you're Carl Edwards Jr. Yeah. That was from Rico and Ankeny.
I just wish I kind of had like his like, just cool and calm demeanor. I don't. I'm kind of tightly wound. So that's one thing I wish I had of his.
Yeah, I sometimes wish I were more tightly wound.
Well, see, okay, so here, as I'm thinking about it, I am in education. I'm not tightly wound at all with students. Like, I actually do kind of have a Joe Maddon approach as far as like just my demeanor with students, but with my peers, I'm a lot more tightly wound. So
yeah, that's probably true to a certain extent with me too.
Yeah. So one thing that we've been talking about here on our social media over the last 5 days or so is that we are trying to compile a list of game watches for the wild card game. And so what we're doing is we're going to put them together all in an image. And so we'll share it on our social stuff so it can get shared around. We'll post it on our website and everything. And I think right now we're up to like maybe 19 different game watches that people have organized, which is awesome. There's some overseas, all over the country. And really what we want to do is just help facilitate Cubs fans getting together with other Cubs fans and rooting for them for the wild card game. So I would say here that we're recording this Thursday night. I'm hoping by like tomorrow evening, maybe Saturday morning, we will have that image ready to go and we will send it out. So if you want to get your game watch, your town's game watch, your city, wherever you're at, if you want to get it on there, please email me immediately. Corey, Corey, at ivmv.com. So that we can add it. But, the list is growing and it's pretty awesome. We've got one on there in Australia, one in Germany. So
nice.
Yeah. So Germany, I think it'll be what, like 2 a.m. when that game is on.
It's a late night.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. So yeah, be looking for that. And if you don't mind, you know, share that out so that as many Cubs fans as possible can see it. And I don't know. I like the idea of Cubs fans all around the country getting together with other Cubs fans and just hopefully having a good party and celebrating. That's what I'm hoping for.
Heck yeah.
Pop some champagne, right?
Right. Perfect transition.
Yep. Okay, so that does it for this episode, which was brought to you by all 108 of our Patreon supporters. Patreon helps us pay the bills, it funds some of the extra things we do with Ivy Envy, and it really makes everyone's Ivy Envy experience better. Up until Patreon, we had paid for everything related to Ivy Envy ourselves, and incorporating Patreon has helped us tremendously. Every penny that we've made with Patreon has been sunk back into the podcast. It's helped us upgrade equipment, and we really do appreciate all of the support. If you enjoy our podcast, you can join the Patreon supporter group. Pledging levels start at just $1 a month. That's a quarter a week. If you think that two of our episodes are worth 25 cents to you, then head over to patreon.com/ivmb. That's patreon.com/ivmb. So we'll be back on Sunday with Kurt to wrap up this incredible Cubs 2015 season. And until then, go Cubs. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.